From Jakarta, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Indonesia Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia to enhance strategic partnership with Boeing. China invests $2.54 billion in steel plant in Central Java. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian Trade Ministry seeks to enhance strategic partnership with the United States, including with the world's largest aircraft manufacturer, Boeing, which is expected to be mutually beneficial to both parties. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tiasto Lukita visited the United States this month to secure Indonesia's market access to the United States as well as to improve partnership and balance trade relations between the two countries in various sectors. Lukita said in a written statement received by Antara News Agency on Tuesday that his ministry invites Boeing not only to make Indonesia a market, but also to remain together as part of a mutually beneficial future strategy. The Indonesian delegation met with the Vice President of International Government Relations, Boeing, Mark Lipper. Lukita conveyed the considerable cooperation potential between Boeing and Indonesia, such as the development of palm-based biofuel or bioaftur, aircraft, aircraft parts, as well as maintenance, repair, and overhaul service, MRO. In addition, Indonesia has the potential to become an aircraft service hub of MRO aircraft in Southeast Asia and beyond. Lukita also remarked that Boeing can work together with Indonesian business players to develop bioafters based on palm oil as an alternative fuel that is more environmentally friendly. China-based steel company Hebel BC Steel Group has invested $2.54 billion in Central Java Province, Indonesia, to build a steel plant to have a production capacity of 3 million tons. Deputy Governor of Central Java, Heru Sujatmoko, was quoted as saying by Antara News Agency correspondent in Beijing on Tuesday, said that it will be the first phase of investment in Kendal, Central Java. Apart from the steel plant, the investment fund would also be used to set up a coking coal plant with 2.4 million ton capacity, power plant with 270 megawatts capacity, and port support facility with 100 deadweight tonnage DWT capacity. Hebel BC Steel Group has partnered with Indonesia's PT Siver Kawasan Industri in investing their fund in Central Java. Sujatmoko noted that Central Java is one of the backbones of Indonesia's economy. He added that the Central Java government had promised to Chinese business sector to easy investment permit procurement. He remarked that the success of investors is the government's success. Meanwhile, Director of Hebel Industry Group Deng Ji expressed his willingness to make the investment into real soon in Siver Kendal Industry Complex in Kendal, Central Java. He remarked that Hebel's investment in Central Java is one of pilot projects of Chinese One Belt, One Road initiative in Indonesia. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tiasto Lukita said he would drum up support from United States importers to maintain the generalized system of preferences GSP facility for certain Indonesian commodities exported to the world's largest economy. The Indonesian government is concerned with the U.S. government's plan to review its policy of giving the GSP facility for a number of Indonesian commodities. Enggar Tiasto said in Jakarta on Tuesday that United States importers also need the GSP policy to sustain their business. He said in a written statement that Indonesia understands the U.S. plans to review its GSP facility policy, but Indonesia hopes that the result of the review would not affect Indonesian exports to the United States and would not have its impact on U.S. industry benefiting from the GSP scheme. Enggar Tiasto said USA importers are actively involved in hearing with their government in the process of reviewing the GSP scheme received by a number of developing countries, including Indonesia. He said GSP benefits both Indonesian exporters and U.S. importers and industries. GSP is a U.S. form of assistance exempting certain export commodities of developing countries, including Indonesia, from import duty. In April 2017, the U.S. government decided to review the assistance for a number of those countries, including Indonesia. The phenomenon of gadget addiction or gameplay among children is one of the concerns at the National Children's Day celebration in 2018. Though the use of their devices is potentially dangerous to children's growth, this was conveyed by Professor of the Faculty of Medicine, University of Indonesia, Sujat Miko, to the reporters at Indonesian Ministry of Health in Jakarta on Tuesday. According to Sujat Miko, the device can be a tool that directs children to negative things, such as negative information like pornography and hoaxes, violent content that is inconsistent with their age, commercial information or advertising that can harm children and their parents, and the last is a game that often makes them addicted. He said the addiction of children to gadget is influenced by many things, including the influence of their own parents.
Mengenai adiksi kepada gadget, ya.
Regarding the addiction to the gadget, that is influenced by many things. First, an example from a parent, from the environment, from a friend. Second, the lack of control of parents, restrictions, and also less control of the environment, for example, from school. Third is no solution, he played what. Play what is more fun or just as fun as a gadget. Those three things can cause children addicted to gadgets. Furthermore, Sujat Miko explained that parents have a very big role related to the effect of the device on children. Parents are expected not only to forbid their children from using the device alone, they are also expected to reduce the use of the devices in the presence of their children. In addition, parents are also expected to increase the interaction directly with children through various activities that can stimulate child growth. Sujat Miko said, related to the addiction of children's devices, the current awareness of the negative effects of the device has begun to increase among educators and parents. Gawai is now a prohibited item in a number of schools in Indonesia. Indonesian Ministry of Women, Empowerment and Child Protection is currently doing a joint study with Indonesian Ministry of Communications and Information Technology to prohibit the use of devices in children. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The operational management of the King Abdul Aziz International Airport in Jeddah is preparing a special terminal for Indonesian Hajj pilgrims who come from the Jakarta embarkation and will receive the Road to Mecca facility. Deputy Chief Executive Officer of the Operational Airport Development, Abdul Rahman Saad Hajar, told foreign journalists when closely observing preparations to welcome Hajj pilgrims at the Jeddah International Airport recently that the first batch of Indonesian Hajj pilgrims who get the Road to Mecca facility are scheduled to arrive at King Abdul Aziz International Airport in Jeddah on July 30. According to him, the route to Mecca came up from an idea applied by the Saudi government to make the trips of Hajj pilgrims easier from their departures from the country to their arrivals at their dormitories. The trips are made possible as all the immigration process, including the checking of passports and visas, as well as fingerprint recording, have been done in the Soekarno-Hatta Airport in Jakarta. With the route to Mecca facility, the flying time could be reduced by about 20 minutes. The route to Mecca facility is the first idea applied at the Hajj season 2018 for Indonesian Hajj pilgrims who depart from the Jakarta embarkation and those from Malaysia. The Kingdom government is trying to apply the same facility for all Hajj pilgrims from different countries, and it was expected to be implemented in the next Hajj season. The Law and Human Rights Ministry would revitalize the prison system by implementing four categories of prison following its raid in Sukamiskin Prison. Ade Kusmanto, the spokesman of Directorate General of Correctional at Law and Human Rights Ministry, said on Tuesday in Jakarta, there will be four categories: super maximum security, maximum security, medium and minimum security. Ade said, the ministry was currently drafting the revitalization scheme, thus a special detention center would no longer exist, including prison for corruption convicts. Every inmate would be placed based on their possibility to repeat the crime. He explained that they will be detained in maximum security prison if the convicts likely tend to do harm or repeat their crime. Ade went on to say that it was a tier detention center. The detainees would be moved to a lower security prison should they show good behavior. He also mentioned that the system was different from the previous one since the review towards the convict were done based on their jail term. Following the arrest of Sukabumi prison warden by the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, Ade claimed the revitalization would prevent further violation and abuse of authority either in prison or detention center. The National Institute of Aeronautics and Space, LAPAN, stated that the total lunar eclipse set to take place on Saturday, July 28, will have an extended duration up to 3 hours and 55 minutes, while the moon itself will appear reddish for 1 hour and 43 minutes. This astronomical event can be witnessed in almost every location across Indonesia, given that the skies would be completely clear during the event. Researcher of LAPAN Space Science Center, Rorom Priyaktigno, revealed another reason why the upcoming lunar eclipse should not be missed. He said that in July 27 to July 28, the moon will appear as it is hanging on the night sky with Mars and Saturn by its side. Rorom said on Thursday that the total lunar eclipse would be incredibly beautiful to take a picture of the moment the objects are together. There will also be a meteor rain that coming from the Aquarius constellation, which will not be too far from the moon during the lunar event. He explained that the total lunar eclipse, which can be considered as a mini blood moon, will commence on Friday night of July 27 that will last from 1:24 Western Indonesia time up to 5:15 Western Indonesia Standard Time the following day of Saturday, July 28. Well, listener, that was the news.
Indonesia is the largest archipelagic country in the world. Indonesia, a country with diverse ethnicities, cultures, and languages, where the hospitality of its people becomes a thing to be missed. Are you dreaming of visiting this beautiful land? Come on, Realize your dream by following VOI International Quiz 2018. If you're lucky, you will get a vacation and enjoy the charm of Indonesia for free. You just need to answer the following question. 1. Please mention one or more historic buildings in Bandung that you know. 2. How do you listen to Voice of Indonesia? Streaming or shortwave? And why? 3. What is your favorite program? Send your answer along with your identity, passport number, and passport expiry date to voiquiz2018@voinews.id before July 31st, 2018, 2400 hours UTC. VOI International Quiz 2018, presented by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling Election in Pakistan. The heat in Pakistan today is not only because of the weather, but also due to the rising political temperatures ahead of the general election, which is planned to be held today. Several incidents of bomb attacks and even legal cases seems to be the way to compete in this general election. Ahead of the election, there was a bomb attack that killed 149 people. Another attack even killed a candidate who was going to join the election, albeit at a local level. Another point of interest is the court's verdict to a strong candidate from the Pakistani Muslim League Party, or PMLN, which is the party of former Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif. The verdict is suspected to be under pressure from certain parties in Pakistan. Sharif and his daughter are currently facing sentences, each 10 and 7 years imprisoned due to some corruption cases. In addition, a Pakistani court ruling also imposed on Sharif a lifetime political ban. In Pakistan, the military has a strong influence. Half of the country's 71 years history was ruled or controlled by the military. This time, some parties also suspect the military of pressing the media and politicians. Of course, the military denied it and declared that it does not have a direct role in the election. This election was a battle between PMLN and the Tehreek-e-Insaf opposition party, or PTI, led by Imran Khan. Another party is the People's Party of Pakistan, led by Bilawal Bhutto Zardari. Bilawal is the son of the late Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto, who was killed in an attack. In order to occupy the Prime Minister's seat, the People's Party inevitably had to compete with other parties that become competitors in this election. It is hoped that the general election in Pakistan run peacefully and is able to come out with a figure who is really elected by the people to become the leader of the country. The parties who have been facing each other in the election should prioritize the common interests rather than the interests of their respective groups and parties. Peace in Pakistan is a key in order to mitigate the situation in the rest of neighboring countries, Afghanistan and South Asia. That was commentary. I'm Nuku Kusumawati.
To Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment, which brings back people and events from this date in the past, as recorded in history. We start from the birth of the first test tube baby, Louis Brown, on July 25, 1978. The test tube baby program, which was initiated by Robert Edward and Patrick Steptoe, was successfully conducted, and it was marked by the birth of a baby daughter named Louis Brown. Louis Brown was born on July 25, 1978, at Oldham and District General Hospital in Manchester, the United Kingdom, from her parents Leslie and Peter. Louis Brown was born at midnight through a cesarean section, and she weighed 2.27 kilograms, or equivalent to 5 pounds. The test tube baby process indeed created pros and cons in the beginning of its emergence. However, after the successful achievement of the first test tube baby, a lot of couples with fertility issues choose to perform the test tube baby program as their solution. The first test tube baby in Indonesia was named Nugroho Kayanto. He was born on May 2, 1988 at Harapan Kita Children and Maternity Hospital, Jakarta. The process was carried out by a team of doctors led by Sudraji Sumapraja. Now we move to the next event, when Narayanan became the first Dalit, or a person from the subordinated group in India, who was selected as the President of India on July 25, 1997. Narayanan began his career in Indonesia under the authority of Nehru. He was appointed as the Ambassador of India to Japan, Great Britain, Thailand, Turkey, China, and the United States. Due to his capability, Narayanan was given a title by Nehru as the best diplomat of the country. Narayanan immersed himself in politics due to the request of Indira Gandhi. Narayanan won 3 successive general elections for Lok Sabha and served as the country's minister in the United Cabinet under the governance of former Prime Minister Rajiv Gandhi. After being elected as the 9th Vice President of India in 1992, Narayanan finally became the President of India on July 25, 1997. The last event in Today in History was the crash of supersonic Concorde plane, which crashed down in Gonesse on July 25, 2000. The only fatal plane crash involving supersonic Concorde plane happened on July 25, 2000. The crash occurred when a passenger plane named Supersonic Concorde took off from Charles de Gaulle Airport, France, and headed to John F. Kennedy Airport in New York, the United States. During the takeoff session, the plane hit a titanium plate, which was left on the runway. The titanium plate belonged to the Continental Airlines DC-10 plane. The plate debris shredded the plane's tire and caused the explosion on the tire. The debris of the tire also affected the fuel tank, which resulted in blaze. The blaze spread until the plane's left wing. The blaze broke down the engine. Consequently, the engine stopped and the plane crashed down. The plane collided with a hotel in Gunnins Val d'Oise. 109 passengers and cabin crew, as well as 4 employees of the hotel, lost their lives in this tremendous accident. Listener, that was Today in History.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to My Indonesia. In today's edition, we will bring a topic about oversupply in cement market. The Ministry of Industry encourages domestic cement consumption. Indonesian Ministry of Industry Erlangga Hartarto said that the domestic cement market underwent oversupply. Ministry of Industry estimated the production capacity of domestic cement industry reached 100 million tons, while its consumption approximately ranged from 60 until 80 million tons. On his press statement in Jakarta on Sunday, July 22, Minister Erlangga Hartarto said that the government constantly encouraged the elevation of cement consumption in domestic market through several prospective projects which are currently in progress, predominantly the projects planned by the government. Some of those projects include the development program for infrastructure, property, and manufacturing sector. Therefore, the Ministry of Industry coordinated with other related ministries, such as the Ministry of Public Works and People's Housing, as well as other institutions, so that the national cement industry consumption can be increased. As another effort to overcome the problem, the Ministry of Industry directed domestic industries that utilize clinker as the raw material to empower the potential of local production. The attempt is intended to reduce the import of similar products. Minister Erlangga Hartarto further added the implementation of anti-dumping duties as another mechanism can be done to resolve the problem. The anti-dumping duties can be applied by the government when the prices of imported goods are cheaper than the domestic ones. Minister Erlangga Hartarto emphasized that the policies mark government's commitment to maintain the business climate in order to remain conducive. Conducive business climate will sustain the growth and advancement of national cement industry. Other than formulating policies to maintain conducive business climate, the Ministry of Industry also promoted the diversification of products made from cement, as well as the mandatory of applying Indonesia national standard for cement. In addition, all components from the Ministry of Industry will support domestic cement industries to gain the opportunity of expanding their export, although the profits of export will be lower. Minister Erlangga Hartarto gave such statement, considering Vietnam is currently experiencing the same situation of excessive cement production, Indonesia itself own cement factory in Vietnam. Meanwhile, the Ministry of Industry reminded all parties in domestic cement industries to establish innovation ecosystem. The purpose of establishing innovation ecosystem is to sharpen the competitive excellence in the middle of rapid competition, either in regional or international level. The innovation can generate advantages for the companies as it is more efficient, especially in handling the oversupply in national cement production. According to Minister Erlangga Hartarto, the sustainability of strategic industrial development, such as cement factories, should become a concern because it produces multiple effects for regional and national economy. The effects include the labor absorption and the empowerment of cement-based small-scale industries to assist their development. That was My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. Indonesian Trade Ministry seeks to enhance strategic partnerships with the United States, including with the world's largest aircraft manufacturer, Boeing, which is expected to be mutually beneficial to both parties. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tiasto Lukita visited the United States this month to secure Indonesia's market access to the United States, as well as to improve partnerships and balance trade relations between the two countries in various sectors. China-based steel company Hebel BC Steel Group has invested $2.54 billion in Central Java Province, Indonesia, to build a steel plant to have a production capacity of 3 million tons. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tiasto Lukita said he would drum up support from the United States importers to maintain the Generalized System of Preferences, GSP, facility for certain Indonesian commodities exported to the world's largest economy. The Indonesian government is concerned with the U.S. government's plan to review its policy of giving the GSP facility for a number of Indonesian commodities. The phenomenon of gadget addiction or gameplay among children is one of the concerns of the National Children's Day celebration in 2018, though the use of the device is potentially dangerous to children's growth. This was conveyed by a professor of the Faculty of Medicine, University of Indonesia, Sujat Miko, to the reporters at the Indonesian Ministry of Health in Jakarta. The operational management of the King Abdulaziz International Airport in Jeddah is preparing a special terminal for Indonesian Hajj pilgrims who come from the Jakarta embarkation and will receive the Road to Mecca facility. Deputy Chief Executive Officer of the Operational Airport Development, Abdul Rahman Saad Hajar, told foreign journalists when closely observing preparations to welcome Hajj pilgrims at the Jeddah International Airport recently that the first batch of Indonesian Hajj pilgrims who get the Road to Mecca facility are scheduled to arrive at the King Abdulaziz International Airport in Jeddah on July 30. The Law and Human Rights Ministry would revitalize the prison system by implementing four categories of prison following its raid in Sukamiskin Prison. Ade Kusmanto, the spokesman of Directorate General of Correctional at Law and Human Rights Ministry, said on Tuesday in Jakarta that there will be four categories: super maximum security, maximum security, medium and minimum security. The National Institute of Aeronautics and Space, LAPAN, stated that the total lunar eclipse set to take place on Saturday, July 28, will have an extended duration of 2-3 hours and 55 minutes, while the moon itself will appear reddish for 1 hour and 43 minutes. This astronomical event can be witnessed in almost every location across Indonesia, given that the skies would be completely clear during the event. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Indonesia is the largest archipelagic country in the world. Indonesia, a country with diverse ethnicities, cultures, and languages, where the hospitality of its people becomes a thing to be missed. Are you dreaming of visiting this beautiful land? Come on! Realize your dream by following VOI International Quiz 2018. If you're lucky, you will get a vacation and enjoy the charm of Indonesia for free. You just need to answer the following question. 1. Please mention one or more historic buildings in Bandung that you know. 2. How do you listen to Voice of Indonesia? Streaming or shortwave? And why? 3. What is your favorite program? send your answer along with your identity, passport number, and passport expiry date to voiquiz2018@voinews.id before July 31st, 2018, 2400 hours UTC. VOI International Quiz 2018, presented by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's Citizen, we will introduce you to a tourism object in Sukabumi, West Java Province, namely Ciletuh Geopark. Stay tuned. Listeners, the name of Ciletuh Geopark is unfamiliar for some people. However, the Ciletuh Geopark is being assessed by UNESCO as Global Geopark. If it is passed, Ciletuh Geopark will officially become Global Geopark as well as World's Natural Heritage Site, which is protected. Certainly, it will make the name of Indonesia be more famous in international world on the beauty and wealth of its nature. Listeners, Ciletuh Geopark is located at Pelabuhan Ratu Sukabumi, West Java Province. You can access the geopark by land transportation. To go to the tourism object, we suggest you to use rental or private car which uses double power steering machine because the road is much damaged. The trip from Jakarta takes around 7 until 8 hours. Listeners, Ciletuh Geopark is very wide. The area includes Ciletuh Great Bay, which has tens of kilometers of coastal line. Tourists are free to choose which beach is suitable for swimming, such as the beach of Ciemas in Jampang District, Sukabumi. Besides the beach, tourists can also swim at waterfall. There are more than 8 waterfalls which have been opened for public, but you should be careful when swimming at the waterfall because there are some waterfalls which have heavy stream such as Dok Dok and Chikaso waterfalls. To go to the waterfalls, tourists should do trekking and passing green trees. Listeners, another activity which can be conducted at Ciletuh Geopark is by enjoying undersea beauty. To enjoy the undersea beauty, tourists can do snorkeling at white sand spot of Kunti Island. The question can be found by walking around 10 minutes from the main beach of the geopark. Snorkeling management here is Balawisata or Tirta Tourism Sphere Organization. Balawisata provides facility of rental equipment with fee 100,000 rupiah per one snorkel for 45 minutes. Listeners, having been tired of doing activities at Ciletuh Geopark, you can still stay longer while enjoying the beauty of its nature. There are some camping grounds to set tent for staying overnight with fee only 20,000 rupiah. With the fee, which is relatively cheap, You can sleep by being surrounded with amazing scenery, beginning from beach, rice field, and mountain. In addition, you can also witness exotic sunrise in the morning. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Listener, this is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is jam kerja, or in English, working hours. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about jam kerja, or in English, working hours. The conversation at Joko's house. Tony and Enda are talking about job.
Di sini biasanya mulai kerja jam berapa?
Rata-rata mulai jam 7.30 dan selesai jam 4 sore.
Kalau istirahat, jam berapa?
Istirahatnya jam 12 sampai jam 1.
Oh, jadi istirahat 1 jam ya?
Iya.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some expressions related to the topic today, jam kerja, or in English, working hours. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Di sini biasanya mulai kerja jam berapa? Di sini biasanya mulai kerja jam berapa? In English, at what time the working hours begin here? Rata-rata mulai jam 7.30 dan selesai jam 4 sore. Rata-rata mulai jam 7.30 dan selesai jam 4 sore. In English, it usually begin at 7.30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Istirahat jam berapa? Istirahat jam berapa? In English, at what time to break? Istirahat jam 12 sampai jam 1. Istirahat jam 12 sampai jam 1. The break from 12 to 13 p.m. Oh, jadi istirahat 1 jam ya. Oh, jadi istirahat 1 jam ya. In English, so, 1 hour break, right? In the dialogue you've just listened, there was a sentence. Di sini, biasanya, mulai kerja, jam berapa? The word biasanya shows intensity or frequency. Next is an adjective that shows intensity or frequency. Selalu or always. Biasanya or usually. Sering or often. Kadang-kadang or sometimes. And tidak pernah or never. Please attention to the use of adjective in the sentences. Saya selalu berangkat kerja pukul 7. Mereka biasanya pulang kerja jam 4 sore. Aku sering pergi ke sekolah jam 7. Dia kadang-kadang pulang jam 10 malam. Tony jarang datang terlambat. Actually, there are still any other adjective in the Indonesian grammar. But the words selalu, biasanya,
sering, kadang-kadang, and tidak pernah are often used in a daily conversation. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's follow again the conversation.
Di sini biasanya mulai kerja jam berapa?
Rata-rata mulai jam 7.30 dan selesai jam 4 sore.
Kalau istirahat, jam berapa?
Istirahatnya jam 12 sampai jam 1.
Oh, jadi istirahat 1 jam ya?
Iya.
After listen the conversation about jam kerja in English, working hours, we'll give you an exercise which of course related to the words that you have learned before. For example, nama saya Andi. Saya seorang wartawan bekerja di surat kabar Sinar Pagi. Waktu bekerja saya hari Senin sampai Jumat dari jam 8 pagi sampai jam 4 sore. Dan istirahat jam 12 sampai jam 1 siang. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Indonesia is the largest archipelago country in the world. Indonesia, a country with diverse ethnicities, cultures, and languages, where the hospitality of its people becomes a thing to be missed. Are you dreaming of visiting this beautiful land? Come on! Realize your dream by following VOI International Quiz 2018. If you're lucky, you will get a vacation and enjoy the charm of Indonesia for free. You just need to answer the following question. 1. Please mention one or more historic buildings in Bandung that you know. 2. How do you listen to Voice of Indonesia? Streaming or shortwave? And why? 3. What is your favorite program? Send your answer along with your identity, passport number, and passport expiry date to voiquiz2018@voinews.id before July 31st, 2018, 2400 hours UTC. VOI International Quiz 2018, presented by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we'll present Indonesian popular songs by Putri Ayu. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Harus Berakhir. Happy listening.
Harus Berakhir.
You've just listened to Putri Ayu with the song Harus Berakhir, which was released in 2015. The song is a melancholic and sad song accompanied by piano, guitar, and violin. The song Harus Berakhir tells the story of a girl who decided to end the love story since she still loved her former boyfriend. Putri Ayu Rosmey Silain, or better known as Putri Ayu, was born in Sibolga, North Sumatra on May 24, 1997. Putri Ayu began to be known since she followed a talent contest on one of private televisions in Indonesia. Prior to following the event, Putri Ayu has ever followed various singing competitions in North Sumatra. She also found Seriosa's singing style when participating in the 9th Ecclesiastical Choir Competition in Samarinda and managed to achieve gold medal. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Bintang Di Mana by Putri Ayu. Happy listening. Although the arrangement sounds more cheerful than the song Harus Berakhir, the lyrics of the song Bintang Di Mana tells about someone who always present to provide protection and support. However, the lover currently never come. Seriosa is a genre played by Putri Ayu, so it's no wonder if she often perform along with several well-known Indonesian composers such as Adi MS. Putri Ayu became the vocalist accompanied by famous orchestras in Indonesia. She has performed in some neighboring countries, such as the Netherlands, Singapore, China, Australia, and Timor-Leste. Well, listener, to conclude this segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Cinta Dia and Tak Punya Hati by Putri Ayu. Happy listening. Enjoy the song. Sampai jumpa.
you for listening to Indonesia Today from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast every day from 1500 hours Western Indonesia time or 800 hours UTC through www.voinews.id or through mobile application RRI Play.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.